This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Expo Idaho is probably best known as the home of the Western Idaho Fair. The 240-acre property also includes the Boise Hawks Baseball Park, Lady Bird Park, and the now-closed Lebois Horse Racing Park. The future of the site, it's in question these days. Joining us live in studio today to talk about the newly formed Expo Idaho Citizens Advisory Committee is Ada County Commission Chair Kendra Kenyon. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma. Thank you for having me.
So I think when a lot of people think about Expo Idaho, they think about the Western Idaho Fair. And yet there's so much more to the property itself and so many more events. So take me to when the conversation started about what do we do with Expo Idaho?
Wow, to go back when the conversation actually started, it was probably way before I was even elected in this position. I think that folks have driven by that property for a number of years now and glance over and see the empty fields and a shuttered horse racing racetrack and weeds in dilapidated buildings, and have started posing the question just in the community, what's happening here? Mm. Why isn't something happening here? And so when I was elected, I've been in office for about a year now, folks would start to ask me, do you guys plan on doing something? And so we started the conversation internally with staff. And one of the first things that that we did when I came on board is we did an entire assessment and analysis of the 247 acres. We found that we really didn't have a grip on exactly what was there. And there's a lot of different leases. There's a lot of different properties. And so we looked at environmental issues. We looked at structural issues. And so now we have everything in one place. And then the next step was, so now that we know what we have and what this asset looks like,
what do we do?
What do we do with it?
Yeah. Well, and we should say that horse racing closed in 2016 when Lebois closed down, leaving that area vacant. That's 63 acres. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that's part of the question is you have 63 acres that's never used.
We have a lot more than that, actually, that's right. Never used. You know, we have the property, I wouldn't say never used, but like Lady Bird Park, for example, is on the Shinden Boulevard side. And that park doesn't get used as much as it could because it's right on a busy, you know, corridor. So we've even looked at swapping that back behind over by the river where the new FEMA maps show that it's a flood zone. And so if it ever were to flood, it would probably be, you know, maybe a week or so, but we could use that as a park. We're just really looking at opening up to the public and really getting the public engaged on and how we utilize all of the property. And we decided that if we're going to do this, let's just look at all of it. Let's look at all 247 acres.
So then you decide to form a citizens advisory committee.
Correct.
So talk to me about why form the committee.
Well, it's the public's property. It's the public's asset. And I just didn't feel, I feel really strongly that we need to engage the public in this process because it is their property. And any one county commissioner or even a board of three probably shouldn't be determining the future of that property for the long run. It really does need to be an engagement process. And so we thought, what better way? So we created bylaws. And we've done a lot of work and a lot of talking to folks and interviewing people. And so we landed on a citizens advisory committee.
And in fact, I mean, it's important to keep the process transparent.
Yes.
So to the point that you've, I believe, created a website even for your advisory members so the public can find out who these folks are.
Absolutely. So the process was we identified folks, we floated those names around for about 3 months, and then we landed on a group. There's about, I think, 15 members right now, and even members are representative from each of the cities that the city councils and mayors have teed up for us as well. And then we hired a professional facilitator. They called and did interviews with all of the individuals to make sure that there weren't any personal conflicts of interest. We were looking for people who really represent the community at large and could bring a larger voice or many voices to the table, if you will. So, for example, we have Marie Kellner on there, who's the second in command over at Idaho Conservation League. And so we have the environmental group there. We have Bill Connors, who represents businesses, both large and small. We have the ag group represented. The fair. So we just really wanted to have everyone have a voice. that is reflected in this committee. But during those sessions, when they meet, the public is welcome to weigh in. And we're going to have actual whiteboards, post-it notes, and whatnot. So the public can answer these questions as well in real time at these committee meetings. So there is a website. There's a link. We've already had over 100 people give us their feedback and opinions on what they think. So it's exciting.
So what do they think?
What do they think? A lot of folks are really fond of and affectionate towards keeping the 4-H programs, the agricultural piece, to the fair. And people love the fair, and everyone has fond memories of the fair. And so that's about 80% that that tell mm-hmm. us, you know, these really positive things. The other 20 are people that fear that we won't have a fair, and we can alleviate that fair. We will have a fair. Can we do a 21st century fair? What does that look like? I don't know. Does it belong there on that property, or does it require additional space or a different place?
Okay, so let's talk about that, because I am not surprised that the majority of the feedback is surrounding the Western Idaho Fair, because as you said, so many people grew up going to the fair. You take your kids to the fair. It's kind of that iconic summer, end of summer activity, right? Mm-hmm. That not only do we see in Ada County, but you see it across the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the fear that could go away at that location, how do you alleviate those fears? Because it's not going to be the same if it's not there.
True. Could it be different, better? I don't know. And this is part of the process. So this is phase one is this committee. And again, they'll be reaching out and talking to their constituents. But after this, they're going to come up with 3 or 4 different visions for then the general public to weigh in. So everyone will have a voice. Everyone will be able that wants a voice will be able to weigh in. And at the end of the day, the fair may stay there, or it may go somewhere else. We don't know until the public weighs in and they let us know.
And do you have an idea of the value of that land? Because as we continue to see, you know, Garden City, you know, they have their live work create district, and it really kind of butts up against that. I mean, this is also land that people could, I mean, there could be housing. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's a prime piece of real estate.
It is. And I would hate to assign just a financial value to that property. I think the value of that property is, as reflected in what people's memories are, is it's a community gathering place. It's such a special place for people to come together, whether that's through venues, concerts, the fair, or whatnot. And so the value financially is probably fairly significant. But we're really not encouraging people to look at it just purely from a financial aspect. That can be part of the calculation at the end of the day with the various visions on, you know, what this would bring. Would it put it back on the tax rolls, or put it, that property on the tax rolls for the first time? I think in, I don't know, maybe ever. And knowing that we need property tax relief, I think people are more open to taking a look at that financial piece than they maybe have would have in the past. So yeah, there's a lot of things. We do need housing. We need open spaces too. There's just so much that we need. And the cool thing about this property, it's 247 acres. Everyone that has an idea or close to a group having an idea can probably get something done there. I think it's pretty magical.
So the committee is formed, and they have their first meeting next week.
They had a meet and greet that was unofficial. It wasn't a meeting. Mm-hmm. It was the meet and greet to just see if they wanted in or not.
See if they liked each other enough to be on the committee. Yeah.
Exactly. And that was wonderful. We had a packed house, and it really struck, they struck up some really tough issues and mm-hmm. Some debating just right off the bat on whether it should even, the location should be there, which I didn't think that those issues would come up.
You're like,
initially.
It's a meet and greet. This is not
exactly,
the official meeting.
Exactly.
So what is the timeline then for the committee to bring the recommendations to the county, to the commissioners?
So February 26th is their first meeting, official meeting, and we're really leaving it up to that committee to tell us. We do have a professional facilitator that will help them through that process, but we ask them to please keep in mind that the fairgrounds, that entire property is an enterprise fund, which means that it's not funded by county taxpayers. So we run it as a business, and it makes money. And if we, if this process takes too long, it could impede that business model. So we want to make sure that people are cognizant of that and they keep that in mind and they don't drag it out for too long. I'm thinking probably 3 to 6 months they should be able to get something put together for the rest of the public then to weigh in on.
So once they give their recommendations, will you then open that up for public comment?
Yes, yes. And I'm hoping that they come up with 3 to 5 different scenarios, different visions of what could be there and what people want. And then we'll open that up. That'll probably be a combination of being able to weigh in online, taking a look at those, probably be some renderings, or maybe we'll set something up at the fairgrounds. Actually, physically, you can come down there and take a look at, as well.
So what happens if you don't like any of the recommendations?
Well, it's a non-binding. It's an advisory committee, so it's non-binding. And it could be that we can't afford any of those recommendations. So this is just the first step to get us where we need to be. So if no one likes, if the board doesn't like any of the 5 recommendations, I guess we could mix and match them, right?
Right. It sounds like, I mean, there's a lot of hopefully options out there for the future of this.
Yes, hope is a good word.
Right.
I think if people are hopeful. There's never been an opportunity, I don't think, like we have now to really take a look and do something, and the timing is right. So people are excited and they're very hopeful.
I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking with us about this. We've been talking with Ada County Commission Chair Kendra Kenyon about the future of Expo Idaho. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.